It is news, it is knowledge about the beginning and the end. 高兴，但是上帝不经常给你。首先呢，垃圾呢是归你的，然后是光明的，不要给你，不要给你，不要光明的说，不要给你，不要给你。
He doesn't understand that when you people are
the water that came out. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has promised that is going to do. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will be taken to paradise. We expect Allah to deliver on His promise. That's what we do for. That's why we smile. That's why we're happy. Because we know the Lord and what we are in this life. Since I'm on the straight path, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will not abandon me. And sometimes when I see these people standing on the edge of the grave of a loved one, people who don't believe in God, Christians, Jews, or they believe in God, some of them don't even believe in the hereafter. When they're standing on the edge of that grave and they are bidding farewell to their loved ones, their sons, their fathers, their mothers, their brothers, when that casket is going down 4 feet under the edge of that grave, what is it there for? Forget about that. Thank God for believing in God. Thank God for believing in the hereafter. What is that for? When people come to that person, they know how quickly they're going to believe, but they will never have a chance to meet that person again. How can they stand there and stare at the wrong time? I don't understand. Please, if you have this information, share it with me. What can you understand there? None of the God. Can we never meet that person again? And this is why now that it's sort of common place for even non-Buddhists to create an office. Have you seen that happen? In fact, a lot of Western societies are now seeing a growing trend of non-Buddhists and even Christians burning the corpses of their dead and deceased. They create the office, they go to the for you, and they burn the office. Do you know why they do that? Well, three reasons. It could be a religious reason, a rule. They need to have to burn the body. The second reason is economical, because it's cheaper to burn the body rather than bury it. And the third reason, which I think is the most important, and the big reason why a lot of people do that is because they get to keep the ashes. Because they know that he knows he's going to lose and never be able to see that person again. So at least you're going to keep off the ashes. They put the ashes in a face, for example, they put it on a shelf, and they remember that person. This is my mother, this is my father, this is my son, this is my cat, this is my dog, whatever. And just to hold on to a remnant of the disease, to keep their clothes, to keep their bedrooms intact and present, and they have the ashes. Because they walk all wrong in that. To reunite with that person when the other is not. And the fact that we believe in the hereafter, the fact that my friends, my children, my little brothers, and my little sisters, the fact that we believe we will have the ability to make the consequences of our actions.
You think when the angels come down and ask you, who are these your gods, O Wesley and nobility? You can just fold your face, Allah, because you memorize that in the past. No, that doesn't work that way. All you need to do is look at your actions and find out instantly whether you believe in God or not. See, when your actions tell the story, if your actions were done in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, you can proudly say, God, Allah is my God. So they were done in the way of the dollar, and they were done in the way of the buck and the pound, and they were way of feeding my own stomach and satisfying my own desires. How could you dare say no lot to my God? All you need to do is look at your forehead. It's written up there. We don't get a chance in this world, brother. We don't get a chance. Death isn't a problem, it's what comes after death. The famous God says, fear is something that should be preserved or comes after death. It's not death you should fear. We don't have a chance. And so we should take responsibility before we are still responsible. We should make our actions accountable before we are tried in a court of justice, not a state of mercy. A lot of times, God will be in justice. He will be there to exercise justice. Mercy will be there on the day of judgment and the day of justice. And when it comes to God's justice, you know, we should really pray that God doesn't judge us in accordance with justice. Because according to the gifts that we make, a single minor thing can give you eternal damnation in hellfire. Why do you ask? Is that just? Yes, it is. With all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, with all the words that He's bestowed upon us, with everything He's given, we get so used to the obstacle of the things He gave us to commit sin. Do we not deserve help back from that? Yes, we do. And that's something we should acknowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything starting from our creation. The Prophet of Islam, King of Blessings be upon him, and Holy Prophet, asked his companions one day, sitting down, and he said, what was the first thing, the first ni'mah, the first reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and me? They all said something, you know, this guy said, you, the other person said, my wife, this guy said, my kitchen, or whatever. And it wasn't until the commander of the faithful, the master of the believers, and even the Muslim, Ali ibn Abi Talib,
Yeah.
if you're not used to it, they don't know how to.
They miss their chance. You know, get the chance 70 years in this lifetime, and not one of these prophets to go up. 170 of the prophets on the day of justice.
We have this chance to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you.
he was elected as Mr. President, or to the Queen, or to the King, and you treat that person with the utmost respect. When you ask them for something, you ask them, you beg them, you ask them with very polite way, whereas when you ask them your phone, your family, your friend, or your brother or something, you leave them a note and tell them, call back and be done something. As simple as that, you don't go through formality. When you talk to a president, you don't need formality. But when you talk to a God, you don't need formality. The formality of talking is important with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the brain in accordance with the teaching of the Holy Prophet and the Immaculate and Fallible Imam. They taught us how to address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tell us, when you should stand up before Allah, forget about everything, 5 times a day, in the morning, in midday, in the afternoon, at the beginning of the night, and midday, that's the peak performance period. You're at school, or you're in the marketplace. Everyone's going to come and check money. People are going up and down. Everyone is being online with money, with life, with a peak performance period. That's the time that you should leave everything aside. Don't wait for it all and say, Allah.
Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was this man?
We saw a piece of bread being upon the soul and being washed.
He goes to the city of Cuba.
The last thing he does, the last thing that he goes to kill,
is that he prays.
How
many these people die in the call of prayer, in the way of protecting prayer.
These people die so you and I can even know how to pray. These people die so you and I will know that we should pray.
The last thing he did was pray.
Now, in those times of desperation, when you're going to get killed in a few seconds, you really have to be a very conscientious person in terms of spirituality and knowledge that you have for no favor but prayer, the ability to pray.
The first part of the story, let me tell the story of his two children. Look at them, not me, and five children. Four boys and one daughter. His mother named Mohammed, we'll talk to you story afterwards. The two sons that he had four sons, two of them were killed on the side of Imam Hussein Ali Salam and Rasulullah. The other two by the name of Allah and Muhammad, they actually went to the Holy Prophet and they were held captive by the Messenger of Allah, cursing in the city of Cuba for one whole year. Who were really a young boy? By some children. There was a couple of 7 years old, the other 6 years old, who really young. After their father was killed, after my father was killed, after everything was over, they were held captive. They stayed in solitary confinement themselves. I just want to imagine the pain that these two have to pass in Europe. The father was just killed, and because they showed for mercy too long that they were held captive in solitary confinement themselves, they stayed there for a whole year. They could get something, 1 meal a day, 2 loaves of bread, and a cup of water. But one day, God said to Muhammad, he said, brother, that's just bad. He said, well, I said, look, they only give you 1 meal a day, you might as well die. Compared to Allah, so he stood there for a while, and one day, one of the sons got to look in front of him and bring him some food. He doesn't know how to handle God. Let's talk to him. Let's ask him if he knows what God is. Maybe he'll have some mercy on us. So let us go. So one day, that son comes in an elderly person. Father says to him, who says, do you know God? Do you know the Father that takes from us? Of course, I know him. He said, okay, do you know what he's from me? He said, yes, I know the Father with all my heart. He said, okay, well, we know that we are members of the Father of the Holy Prophet. We are the two children of Muslims and Muslims. Our father was killed by these people of Cuba. And Imam Hussein, our uncle, was killed in Kabbalah, and my father was killed along with him. We are his sons. So when I started crying and said, I'm so sorry, I didn't know about this. I don't know what it is that I couldn't find another God. And he ends up leaving them from prison. So he leaves the city at midnight, in pitch black night, so no one can see them. They leave and they go out to the desert. They leave the desert with a group of glory. They sit there for a while, take a rest. A woman comes by, all the way to the shore. The woman walks by and sees these two beautiful boys that look like jewels. And she says, who are you? They tell her the story. They say they were children of the woman, the Ali, who was killed in Cuba. And she came to them. She was a slave. She came to them to the house of her master, a woman who walked about the Friday of the Holy Prophet. They told her this woman was great to them. She helped them. She gave them a room to stay in. She gave them a room. At the end, what happened is that the master, he had to sign a 30,000 dinar reward, 30,000 gold coins on the head of these two young boys. The son of that woman in whose house they used to live, he finds out about it. So he goes there again, I said, tomorrow morning, I'll cut it short. He comes up to me with the two of the boys and he wants to kill them because he wants that reward. The biggest animal doesn't care about humanity anymore. It's about the money. It's about the discovery. So he comes up to the two boys and he wants to kill them. Muhammad says to him, look, please, don't kill my own father. Kill me first. I'm going to kill him anyway. Take this guy from me to that and give out. He says, no. He says, okay, you're going to kill him anyway. Kill me before you kill my son. He says, why would I do that? He says, because we'll leave us to the city of Medina. My mother put the hand of my father's mother and she put it in my hand.
Thank you.